This is DW News live from Berlin. A state of emergency is declared in southern Ukraine as a major dam is destroyed. Ukraine and Russia are accusing each other of blowing up the Kakhovka Dam. Evacuations are underway with flooding likely to affect thousands of people. Also coming up, Germany looks to boost security ties in the Indo-Pacific. Defense Minister Boris Pistorius is in India, hoping to counter Russia's growing influence in the region. Hello, I'm Christine Mundo. Welcome to the program. Ukraine has called for an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council following the destruction of a major dam in a Russian-controlled part of Ukraine. Kyiv is accusing Moscow of blowing up the Kakhovka Dam to slow Ukraine's military amid signs of a Ukrainian counteroffensive. Thousands of civilians are having to evacuate from their floodwaters, prompting local officials to declare a state of emergency. Concerns over the nearby Zaporizhia nuclear power plant are also growing. It draws water from the reservoir that's now draining away. But the Kremlin is accusing Ukraine of sabotage to distract from the alleged failures on the battlefield.
A wall of water surges through a massive breach in the Kakhovka Dam. Floodwaters appearing to overwhelm what was left of the damaged infrastructure. As water rushed downstream, the level of the Dnipro River rose several metres.
Whoa.
Hundreds of residents began evacuating. Ukrainian officials said up to 80 settlements were at risk of flooding.
Evacuation of people to safe areas has begun. All services are working. Emergency service, police, military, all are together. I urge you to take documents and essentials and wait for evacuation buses. Also, I am addressing the residents of the left bank. Please do everything possible to save your lives and leave the insecure place at once.
This file footage shows the dam before the attack, under Russian occupation. Much of the affected area in southern Ukraine is also Russia-controlled. Both sides blamed each other for the dam's destruction. Ukrainian authorities have previously warned that the dam's failure could unleash 18 billion cubic metres of water. The dam reservoir provides cooling water for the Zaporizhia power plant, but the UN's nuclear watchdog said it saw no immediate nuclear safety risk after the dam was damaged.
Well, we've invited Arndt Hartlieb onto the programme for more on this. He's a professor at the Technical University of Munich and the managing engineer of the Laboratory of Hydraulic Engineering. He joins us from Fachensee in the Alps. Thank you, Professor, for your time. It's good to have you on the programme. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has called the destruction of this dam ecocide. Would that be your assessment of the scale of this destruction?
Yes, I, my opinion, when I have a look on the videos and they are real, then it's really a catastrophic situation because the dam breach is very, very large and a large amount of water is flowing downstream.
As you say, Professor, we're looking at those torrents of water flowing into the river. Just give us a sense of what impact the destruction of this dam is going to have.
Yes, I think I have no information about the development of the breach, if it's increasing or if it's in a steady situation now. But just to have from one time to another that big breach, a large discharge is flowing downstream. That means I suppose that a large area downstream is flooded. And my hope is, and I think the area downstream is flat. That means that there is not such a big wave with a quick increase of water level, but more slow increase of water level, but in a large area. That means that there is, I hope, enough time for the evacuation of the people living there.
Right. Professor, the International Atomic Energy Agency has so far said that the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, which relies on water from the dam, is safe. Could this change?
I have no information about that. I hope that the water supply for the power plant is still working, but I have no information about that. What's happening if there is a back reservoir for the nuclear power plant or not? But if it's directly connected to the reservoir, which is now emptying, then they will maybe have a problem. Yes.
I wondered, from what you've seen, the scale of the damage from the video that you have seen, I know it's difficult if you're not actually there, but do you think that it could be repaired? Could the dam be fixed after this catastrophic event? And what would that repair require? What would that process look like? How long could it possibly take?
Yes, I think there is no reparation now in this urgent situation. There is no possibility. The discharge is too large. The forces are too large. You can only repair it, I think, after a long planning situation and after a long preparation of the new structure. I think that it would need years for reconstruct that structure.
All right, that's Professor Arndt Hartlieb. We appreciate your time and insights here on the program, Professor. Thank you.
Goodbye.
NATO is saying it blames Russia for attacking the dam. Speaking from Bratislava in Slovakia earlier today, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg called the breach a, quote, outrageous act.
The destruction of the Kakhovka Dam today puts thousands of civilians at risk and causes severe environmental damage. This is an outrageous act which demonstrates once again the brutality of Russia's war in Ukraine.
Jens Stoltenberg speaking there. Now, the German government is also leaving no doubt about who it blames for the destruction of the Nova Kakhovka Dam. Chancellor Olaf Scholz said the following: "This is something that takes on a new dimension but fits the way Putin is waging this war." Now, DW correspondent Emily Sherwin told us more about what we're hearing from Russia on this dam attack.
Well, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov spoke to journalists today, and he vehemently denied that Russia was responsible for the explosion of that dam. He said instead that actually Ukraine is responsible, so shifting the blame there. And he said that he called this an act of sabotage from the Kiev government. He also said that this actually showed that the counteroffensive on the Ukrainian side was not going well, essentially accusing Ukraine of kind of desperately blowing things up because things aren't going well for them. Just after that, the Russian Investigative Committee actually opened up a case against Ukraine for terrorism. So what we're seeing here now is both the Ukrainian side and the Russian side accusing each other of terrorism. Meanwhile, the local people are actually going to have to carry the consequences of this. And the Russian emergency services have also now said that people should prepare for an evacuation. And the Kremlin spokesperson also said that there would be dire consequences for the local residents there.
That was DW correspondent Emily Sherwin. She joined us from Riga in Latvia because DW is banned from reporting in Russia. Now, following visits to Singapore and Indonesia, Germany's defense minister is now in India. Boris Pistorius is in Delhi as part of a week-long visit to the region. He wants to strengthen ties with what he calls reliable partners in the Indo-Pacific and says this cooperation is key to global peace and stability. Germany is supporting India's defense capacity in an attempt to reduce India's reliance on Russian-supplied weapons. And let's go now to DW's chief political correspondent, Nina Haase, who is traveling with Germany's defense minister, Boris Pistorius, and joins us now from Delhi. It's good to see you. Nina, what is the German defense minister hoping for from this visit?
Well, Boris Pistorius is the first German defense minister to visit India since 2015. Both countries, Germany and India, see each other as important strategic partners, and they do want to deepen collaboration, and they want to extend that to an intensification also in the military, in the defense sector, because Boris Pistorius argues that this is the region that is going to be shaping the 21st century, and Germany and Europe can't afford to miss out on that. And it is something that is vital, he said, for geopolitical stability, so there is a need to rethink some of Germany's longer standing principles, Boris Pistorius says. And maybe we can just listen to what he said after he met his Indian counterpart.
We totally agreed about the German and European role in the Indo-Pacific. We agreed that more engagement of Europe and Germany is necessary, especially our joint exercise next year really had been appreciated by him. And we were both of the same opinion. We need more cooperation, not only by exercises, also by defense industry, defense armament cooperation, and we are working on it. And of course, I think we should and we can and we ought to do more in that region and in the partnership with India, because we are approaching times we can't really predict what is going to happen in the next years, and we need strategic partners like Indonesia, like India, for example, especially.
Nina, Pistorius mentions defence armaments cooperation there. We know that India relies heavily on Russia for its defence equipment. Is Germany seeking to change that?
Well, Boris Pistorius told me that in an exclusive interview that I did with him in Jakarta on Monday, that it's not in Germany's interest for India to be so dependent on Russia's imports. And we mustn't forget that India is the world's largest arms importer, and so they go to countries actively seeking those imports of weapons. And Germany is sometimes seen as being too restrictive when it comes to this question. So Boris Pistorius is urging Germany to rethink its arms export policy. Now, these rules are pretty strict, but he says discussions are ongoing in the German cabinet, and this is vital so that Germany can be seen as a more reliable partner also when it comes to defense collaboration.
Well, just picking up on that note there, is Germany seen as a reliable partner in the region?
Yes, when it comes to trade, absolutely. There is no doubt Indian companies are trading with German companies. Indian young professionals are flocking to Germany because they rely on Germany's expertise. They see it as a vital market in the European Union. Germany is recognized for its strong position as Europe's economic engine. When it comes to defense, like I say, some of the arms export policy rules are pretty restrictive still. So this is something where India will then turn to other countries. And at the same time, of course, there's no doubt that Indian companies, when you talk to them, they say we would definitely get more out of Germany if only they would let us.
Right, that is DW's chief political correspondent Nina Hazel reporting for us in Delhi. She is currently travelling with Germany's defence minister Boris Pistorius as he's on a tour in the Indo-Pacific region. Thanks very much for your reporting, Nina. And a reminder of the top story that we're following for you here on DW News. Kyiv and Moscow are accusing each other of blowing up a major dam in a Russian-controlled part of southern Ukraine. Officials in the area around the Nova Kakhovka Dam have declared a state of emergency. Evacuations are underway of residents downstream. Excuse me. You're watching DW News. Coming up next on is DW News Asia. How culture and young people are contributing to improved relations between South Korea and Japan. Don't forget, you can always get DW News on the go. Just download our app from Google Play or from the Apple Store. That will give you access to all the news and latest information around the world, as well as push notifications for any breaking news. And that's all for now. Coming up next is Business with Rob Watts, including details of Apple's new mixed reality headset. I will be back at the top of the hour. Join me if you can. Bye-bye.